Cold mornings, frosty windows. Yep, it's that time of year. So treat yourself and start your day with a cup of fresh roasted Sterling Roastery coffee, sourced from around the world and roasted multiple times a week for unbeatable freshness. It's the kind of warm-up every sports fan deserves this holiday season. And right now, you can win one of three $50 Sterling gift cards, perfect for gifting or building your own winning lineup of Java in the morning. Enter today at sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways so you can wake up, warm up, and Sterling up this holiday season. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways.
125 defining moments, one legendary league. This is Darren Hayes of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, and a great book is out right now, NFL Moments, 125 Icons and Stories That Define the NFL. It's a definitive visual history of the National Football League, packed with iconic images and untold stories behind the game's biggest plays and its greatest players. From the early legends like Red Grange to today's stars like Patrick Mahomes, this book is a touchdown for fans who crave more than just stories. So give your football bookshelf a Hall of Fame upgrade or snag a holiday gift for that NFL history buff on your shopping list. Pick up NFL Moments, available now at your favorite bookseller. Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Welcome once again to the Pigpen, your portal to positive football history. And one game in particular that most of us may remember happened on Monday night, October 16th in the year 2006. We're going to talk about it in just a moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time.
You know, we have gone through and done our football history headlines for over 5-6 years now, and have really brought some great events to the forefront of each day of the year. October 16th, 2006, we had a spectacular game happen that most of us watched on Monday Night Football, and it was really something to behold because we had two teams going at it that were going in opposite directions, and that was the Chicago Bears and Arizona Cardinals. At the end of the week six in the NFL's 2006 season, there was only one unbeaten team in the league, and that was the Chicago Bears. That unblemished record was clearly in question during the Bears' October 16th matchup in the desert with the Arizona Cardinals. Now, these two franchises once shared the Windy City, the Cardinals, the original inhabitants of the Chicago, while the Bears franchise arrived in 1921 as the Staleys, formerly of Decatur. The Redbirds were 1-4 entering in the Monday Night Football fray against the Monsters of the Midway, and head coach Dennis Green's club dropped four straight to the Seahawks, Rams, Falcons, and Chiefs after disposing of the 49ers in week one in what seemed to be a very promising season. Now, the Bears, on the other hand, it's pretty well. The Cardinals had some pretty good players on their roster, including future Hall of Famers Kurt Warner, Edgerrin James, surrounded by other superstars like Larry Fitzgerald, Adrian Wilson, Anquan Boldin, and a promising rookie named Matt Leinart. The Bears' head coach Lovie Smith were equally talented, with Rex Grossman and Brian Greasy taking snaps under center, while Cedric Benson and Thomas Jones stood behind them, ready to tote the rock. Receivers Mushin Muhammad, Bernard Berrien, and tight end Desmond Clark were at the ready to catch passes, and it might have been that defense of Coach Smith that struck fear into the opponents of the Bears, who lined up as Brian Urlacher, Lance Briggs, and their linebacking cores were right in front of ball-hawking DB Peanut Tillman, who roamed the defensive backfield looking for stray balls. Very good team indeed. You know, not the superstars, but very good team. Now, Chicago was the early favorite on the road, but the game did not quite play out the way the experts figured. Now, the scoring summary when something like this is the Cardinals jumped out to an early lead midway into the first quarter as Bryant Johnson had an 11-yard pass from Matt Leinart, and Neil Rackers made the kick to make it 7-0 Cardinals at home. With 54 seconds left in the first quarter, Anquan Boldin caught a 26-yard pass from Leinart. The rookie, two touchdown passes in the first quarter. The Redbirds are up 14-0. In the middle of the second quarter, Rackers nailed a 41-yard field goal to go 17-0. And then as the time expired in the first half, Rackers nailed a 28-yard field goal, 20-0 at halftime. It looked like it was all over for the Bears. They had to do some major regrouping at halftime. But boy, whatever Coach Lovie Smith said at halftime in the locker room, it must have done some good. Because at 7:22 mark in the third quarter, the Bears got on the board after playing some strong defense as Robbie Gould nailed a 23-yard field goal to make the score 20-3. Rackers answered a few minutes later with a 29-yard field goal. It was 20-point lead for the Cardinals once again. As they entered ended the third quarter, Mike Brown caught a 3-yard defensive fumble return. Gould kicked it to make it 10-23. Defense did some good things for the Bears. With 5 minutes left in the quarter of the game, Charles Tillman Peanut picked up a 40-yard defensive fumble return. Gould kicked and made the kick. It was 17-23. So both touchdowns coming on fumble returns by the defense. Now, this is when special teams kicks in. 2:58 left. Chicago's Devin Hester had an 83-yard punt return. Gould made the kick, put the Bears up 24-23. Now, Arizona found themselves trailing for the first time all evening after Hester's punt return. The rookie from USC Liner came out calmly and led his team down the field to set up a field goal attempt with 53 seconds remaining. Cardinals' reliable kicker Neil Rackers had been perfect all night, going 3 for 3. But this time, it may have been the pressure or even the Pottsville curse, but the vaunted kicker pushed his kick left of the uprights, missing the 41-yard possible game winner. Chicago did a couple kneel downs, victory formation, and the game was over. Chicago had overcome a 20-point lead or downfall to take over the lead with just 2 minutes left. Quite a remarkable comeback to really put a stamp on their season. Now, Coach Green responded to the media critics as his team had dropped its third second half lead of the season, and as he had this post game presser. Making that famous statement saying the Bears who were we thought they were. Now, he must have thought that they were pretty good because the 2006 Chicago Bears led by Lovie Smith enjoyed a highly successful season, finishing with an NFC best 13-3 regular season to claim the NFC North Division title and the number one seed in the playoffs. Powered by a dominant defense and a strong special teams, they advanced to the playoffs, defeating the Seattle Seahawks in the divisional round and demolishing the New Orleans Saints in the NFC Championship game 39-14. The season culminated with an appearance in Super Bowl 41 in Miami, where they ultimately fell to Peyton Manning and the Indianapolis Colts 29-17. But that was really the culmination of that season. They put them to 6-0. They were on a roll. They had some great players. They started really believing in Lovie Smith's system, believed in themselves, and went to a spectacular season, which hadn't been seen in quite a few years by Chicago, probably back to the 85 team. But 13-3, very, very respectable, making it to the Super Bowl, and had a disappointing end for them. But what a great Super Bowl we got to watch with Peyton Manning going against that Bears defense. That was so much fun. So I hope this little bit of football history for October 16th finds you well. Maybe brings back some good memories, I hope, unless you were a Cardinals fan, maybe some poor memories. But that was a great Monday night football game. And who knows what Monday night football game could spark a team to take them to the Super Bowl this year? We'll never know. But you can stay tuned with us each Wednesday as Ed Cleese and I pick the games for each week coming up, and you can keep score with us at home and see how you did, see how we did, see how we do against each other. That's Wednesdays here on PigskinDispatch.com. Till next time, everybody, have a great Gridiron Day.
That's all the football history we have today, folks. Join us back tomorrow for more of your football history. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport.
You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com. You did not see their faces on the Wheaties boxes, nor did they have the headlines, but they were breaking barriers, one pitch at a time. The integration of minor league baseball, a history and player register, 1946 to 1959, by Rick Swain and Gary C. Fink, shines a light on the overlooked heroes who paved the way for future legends. From dusty bus rides to hostile crowds, these players fought for a place in a game that did not want to see them win. More than history, it's a tribute to courage, perseverance, and the power of a game to change. Honor their legacy today and grab a copy of The Integration of Minor League Baseball at your favorite bookseller.